I understand that you two sometimes bill yourselves as young and rusty. Okay. I kind of love that. it's especially good. This slower tempo is what we're all kind of adapting with right now, I think. You just can't move too fast when it's this hot. Yesterday, I went to Central Market, which was kind of a mistake, on a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, everybody's stocking up and getting fresh produce, you know, and it's just like a traffic jam, and you think your shoes are going to melt in the parking lot. And they're roasting the Hatch chilies right now. And I always feel so sorry for those chili roasters standing out there by those big, hot chili roasting machines in this heat. So God bless the chili roasters. And God bless all the Hatch chili eaters, because that'll just make you hotter. And if that's your choice, that's fine. But it is a good time for us to take a slower pace in what we're doing. And we'll get through this summer. We really will. I'm glad to be back with you. The last time I was with you was a couple of weeks ago when we were saying goodbye to the Conways. And hi, Conways. And I spoke to you about an authentic yes and an authentic no. And briefly talked about the idea of boundaries. I looked for some scriptural references about what I'm going to talk about today. The title of the talk is Get Real, with an exclamation point. So I guess it's kind of an order from the pulpit to get real with your life and to be a real person. So when I started looking in the scripture, actually, Jesus didn't say, set good boundaries for yourself, people. He didn't say, be reliable, be accountable for what you're doing, and that's what I'm talking about today. But he implied all of that in his teachings. And he was the master teacher, and Unity has always been about prayer and education and following the master teacher. So in the Beatitudes, we see the qualities that are admirable and bring us to the inheritance of a life of heaven on earth. And in his teaching, he said this. He said, look, you've had laws to live by all these years. He was speaking to the Jewish people. He said, you've had laws to live by, and that's fine. Live by the law. But I also want you to know that there's something greater than the law that I'm going to introduce to you. And it has to do with having a personal relationship with God. It has to do with that personal relationship guiding you in your actions toward other human beings, in your elevating the status and the energy of the world. And obviously, what he said had to come down in some way as a great element of truth, because we're still talking about it. We're still trying to live up to that. So he said, here's the law, and here is that which is even greater than the law, which is this in here. People weren't used to hearing anybody talk about God as Abba, as Papa, as Father, or later on, as Mother. So all of this is implied in the teaching, and I think what we're about here, no, I know what we're about here is about elevating not only ourselves, but we're elevating each other. Therefore, we're elevating the world. We're increasing the energetic experience of the world. Oh my goodness, you should have seen what was going on here on Wednesday night. We had 30 people here. That's a third of the people sitting here today, maybe even more than a third of who's here today. And we were leaning into each other, talking about the deeper truths. And you will begin to feel or know the work that your fellows are doing. If you're not involved in the class, you'll begin to feel that energetic shift. Now, when we begin to shift energy, it brings up things for us that maybe aren't pleasant. That I guarantee aren't pleasant. Because we are always in the process of being fluid and malleable people in spirit. The closer our relationship is with the divine, the more experienced we are at listening, the more we want to do that which brings us up to a higher level. The more uncomfortable it is for us when we're not living at that standard. And I can also tell you that once you reach a place where you're going, well, I think I've finally achieved that great level of being, you will have another challenge. And that's okay. What happens is you don't avoid the challenges, you get used to them. And you say, all right, bring it on. Let's go ahead and see what this is about. So that's the good news. And the good news is you don't have to do it by yourself. You have the divine spirit working with you and for you. And you have companions to walk with you on your journey. So what we're talking about here are tools for living. Tools for making the world a better place. One of my minister friends posted on the minister's Facebook page, Unity Minister's Facebook page, and the preacher in the pulpit said, who wants change? And everybody went, yeah, we want change. And the next question was, who wants to change? All hands down. So am I asking you to change? Of course I am. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask that of you and I didn't ask that of myself. All the time. Because as we live in that higher vibration of prayer and connection, then the things that don't match up to that become more uncomfortable and less livable. Now, what I'm going to be talking about today will sound familiar to those of you who are in a 12-step program, because this 12-step program is also a program of spiritual awakening. What I'm talking to you about is universal among all the great master teachers. So, one of the things that we are getting better at, hopefully, a little too close to the mic here, Jason, do you think? One of the things is setting boundaries with others, and most of the time we didn't grow up in homes where setting boundaries was something that we were taught. Most of us grew up in a home that was either controlling, restrictive, maybe abusive. So we didn't have an opportunity to figure out what our own boundaries were. And some of us were brought up in households where we were given so much freedom that we didn't know how to set boundaries because the world was just wide open. So we're all learning how to do that as adults. And wow, it's not always easy. But do you know, when we do that, when we start setting a little fence around ourselves that says, this is what I will have and this is what I will not have in my life, then we are living our highest good, and we cannot live our highest good without it also being the highest good for others around us. And one of the biggest barriers for us setting a boundary is saying, I'm afraid people won't like me. I'm afraid people are going to get mad at me. I'm afraid that I'll lose something, a friendship, a status. And so then we don't set a boundary, and then we're uncomfortable, and then we're mad at ourselves for not setting that boundary, and then we have this icky relationship with somebody else. Oh, that's an option. And a lot of us have lived in that option for a while, but we don't have to.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you, sister. Thank you for that. In the Brené Brown studies that we're doing, in the research that she did, she asked people why they hesitate to set boundaries. And the number one answer was, I don't want to make people mad or disappoint other people or make them stop liking me. I don't know how to set boundaries without sounding selfish or unlikable. And so when we don't set a boundary, the first thing we experience is resentment, and then anger, and then frustration, and those emotions eat away at us, and how can we live our best spiritual life if we've got all that going on? Sometimes we feel like we need to apologize or justify when we're setting a boundary. We don't. We don't have to do that. We can be clear, we can be respectful, we can be open for questions, and most of the time when we're clear, other people appreciate our clarity. They appreciate our being standing in our own truth, because that's hard to argue with. And so when you're clear, it also gives other people permission to be clear as well. And that's a wonderful thing. That's one of the things that we can do. Who knew that setting boundaries was a spiritual practice? Well, a lot of us knew it, but who knew that we could apply it on a daily basis? Because it requires us to be brave and to be vulnerable to set those boundaries. We have to really be in touch with ourselves. So I could talk about that for a while, but I'm going to move on to reliability. What we're looking at here with boundaries, reliability, and accountability is the way that we create trust. We create trust with other people. They know that we trust them. They know that they can trust us. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the trustworthy friend, and we're going to expand on this idea even more. Because do you not want to be that person that others can come to and know that you are an absolutely safe place for them to land? Do you not want to be that person? Don't you want to be the person they can say, man, I know that if I ask them to do something, they're going to do it. If I ask them to do something and they're not able to do that, they're going to clearly say to me, no, I can't. I'm afraid I can't do that. And remember what I told you a couple of weeks ago? No is a complete sentence. Remember that? Because when we start diluting our no with explanation, our no becomes mushy, wishy-washy. And we want to be clear. So when we're reliable, we do what we say we're going to do. I'm going to give you a quote here. We stay aware of our competencies and our limitations so that we don't overpromise. And then we're able to deliver on our commitments and balance our competing priorities. I'm going to say that again. We stay aware of our competencies and our limitations. Some of us aren't willing to admit our limitations. We need to know those as well as we know how competent we are at things, so that we don't overpromise and we're able to deliver on our commitments and balance our competing priorities. We had a question come up in class the other night about the way we give to other people because we feel called to give to other people. But if you come to a point where you're giving and showing up for other people and it begins to deplete you, then something has gotten out of balance in your practice of reliability, commitment, and compassion. Every time you take, and this is, I wish I'd made this up, it's a great example. Think of yourself having a jar of marbles. And you can have a new jar of marbles every day. I give you permission. So you have a full jar of marbles. You take a marble out because you're doing something for someone else or giving of your time. But if you keep taking the marbles out and don't have those things that put the marbles back in, then you're out of marbles, and then what are you going to do? You become resentful and angry. You lose your marbles. My child, listening, I'm so grateful. So grateful. Okay, well, I guess we've covered that topic. But you know what it's like, don't you? You know what it's like to lose your marbles. You know what it's like when you've given of yourself so much because you think you want people to like you, you want to do the right thing, you want to show up. Do that. But also do those things and be that person who gets fed. Allow yourself to be served by others. Do you know that every single one of you in here has an urge to serve? Every single one of you. It's built into us. It's part of our DNA. And if someone wants to serve us and we say, oh, no, 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 that's okay, we are denying them a chance to use their gift of service. It's like ignoring a compliment and saying, oh, this old thing about your clothes. You're saying, oh, you look so nice today. Oh, thank you. I just couldn't do a thing with my hair. Don't do that. Because that's like saying, yeah, I know you're complimenting me, but you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to give that to other people. How does that foster trust? How does that foster love? How does that create love? Loving kindness is important. So the third thing today, accountability. It's got three parts. You own your mistakes, you apologize, and you make amends. You own your mistakes, you apologize, and you make amends. Tenth step. You do it every day. You own your mistakes, you apologize, and you make amends. And apologizing isn't always making amends. Making amends is making it right. Making amends means mending the situation to the best of your ability by thought, word, or deed. So it's important for us to give ourselves permission to be stand-up, accountable people. And if you right now, when I say that, have this little thing that's just going, oh, I don't know if I can do that all the time. Do your best. Do your best all the time. That's all we can ask of ourselves, isn't it? And sometimes being accountable to ourselves also means forgiving ourselves and making amends to ourselves. Oh, I'll do that differently next time. But if your conditioned response is shame, blame, all that stuff, stop it. Now, I don't want to be one of those hand-clapping people. Stop doing that right now. Because that's so, you know, preacherly. But we're about taking a very courageous journey, aren't we? We were instructed to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the instructions. So all I'm doing is expounding upon the instructions. To love your neighbor as yourself is to set boundaries, to be reliable, to be accountable. And it's so much easier. Okay, I'm going to make a confession. I have somebody that I need to get in touch with, and the longer I don't get in touch with her, the more uncomfortable I feel about getting in touch with her. And so I walk around with this uncomfortable, unfinished business inside me, when it would be so much easier just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you too. Wow. The things we do to ourselves. We're God's precious children. We're harder on us than anybody else. Just saying. We talked the other night about, we had little tiny pieces of paper, like one by one. And what we wrote in that little square was people that are in our square squad. And people in our square squad are the people that we care about their opinion of us. We want to be our best selves for those people. We know that they will hold us accountable. We know that they will speak the truth with love and compassion and support. And sometimes your very best friend isn't that person. And so we talked about what a surprise it was for us to put down the people that were in our square squad and it not be the people we thought it was going to be. Now, here's what I would invite you to consider. If you were to write down your square squad, who would be in there? Who would be those people? A 1x1 inch square. And I don't care how tiny you write, there's going to be a limit to how much you can put in there. And how do you become someone else's square squad person? We have to be clear about boundaries, reliability, and accountability before we can hold others to the same. But that's what we can do for each other as we lift each other up, lift each other up, lift each other up. There are some people in this community that are doing this work at a very deep level, and every one of us is going to be lifted up because of it. The rising tide that lifts all boats. It's happening right here, right now. So I'm going to ask you three questions for you to be real. This is your assignment. In what relationship or environment do you need to set a boundary? Set it. The question's not enough. Do something about it. Are you reliable? Do you show up on time? Do you overcommit? Do you do what you say you were going to do? Just ask yourself the question and say, no, you know, I could do a little better in this area or that area. And then do it. Isn't it easier for us to be honest with ourselves than have somebody smack us with that truth? Let me show you your character defects. No, thank you. Do you own your own mistakes? Do you apologize for them? Do you make amends? Is there somebody that you need to apologize for, too? Freudian slip. Okay, let's try that one again. Is there anyone you need to apologize to? Do you need to say to them, boy, I really messed up. I am so sorry about that. What can I do to make it better? Would you rather do that, or would you rather walk around feeling that little tiny shrunken place inside of you that knows it and isn't doing anything about it? How can we be whole and free and living in God's truth when we're not doing these things? Do you see? All we're doing is just clearing up the little messes here and there. Getting real. Becoming real, imperfect people. And I'll throw this out again. We are perfectly imperfect. Isn't that great? Because if we're striving for perfection, we're not going to get there. If you get to perfection, you get to leave the earth. So we stay here, and we do this, and we support each other in doing it. So if you need to set a boundary, set one. If you need to become more reliable, do that. If you need to own a mistake and apologize and make amends, do that. Do all three of them. If you need some support, call one of your friends. Call me. Say, oh, this is really, really hard. And I'll say, you've got this. You can do it. Let's practice. And I can tell you that there is not one person sitting in this room that wouldn't say, sure, I'd support you in that. Because I see the best in you. I see the highest in you. I know that you're a child of God. Isn't that a lovely thing? Isn't that why we have community? Okay, let's pray. In the stillness, breathe into your heart, into your belly. Breathe as deeply as you can. Allow your body to just expand with breath, because this gives you an opportunity to not only feel the beauty of this body machine that you live in, but breathing allows you to become clearer and more relaxed. It also allows the guidance of God, the breath of God, the words of God, the urgings of the divine to become more apparent to us. And if in these moments the truth is revealed to you in such a way that it breaks your heart open, let it open. It's hard for us to imagine that the great unifying magnetic power of the universe that is love loves us unconditionally. And as we begin to glimpse that, then our ability to love others unconditionally becomes a little easier. When we see those imperfections in ourselves, there is no judgment. There is only, ah, beloved, we can work with this. Just keep breathing. You don't have to strive for anything. If your mind is casting about looking for answers, let it be still, so that we might experience that mystical union that is beyond our understanding. And now expand beyond yourself and let your unconditional loving kindness expand to everyone in this room. And then to your family and friends and to the community and to the world. For if we do not do the work of God, then who shall? And you see, it's as easy as a breath. And so, great and loving Spirit, we give thanks. We acknowledge that we are pilgrims on this path. And we welcome that eternal love, that eternal non-judgment that supports us on our way. Let that which needs to be revealed to us be revealed in its right time and in its right way. And let that which needs to be healed in us be healed in the right time and in the right way. And with hearts of gratitude, let your heart say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.